Coming in hot, we're all ready to go. Sounds perfect. I don't even know. It seems like, and this is a lesson I'd say that is repeating over and over in my life, and that is the simplest path is the best path. So instead of trying to set up the recorder and have it be recording my phone through headphones, I'm just using my phone's recorder, and it auto-adjusts the levels, and there's absolutely no feedback because of an ultra-sensitive microphone.
Nice.
Yes, it's working now. Well, welcome to Totally Unrelated. It's Tuesday morning. I don't even know if I should say that, but it's cold morning, and this is probably the earliest we've ever recorded. It's 10:10.
That's in the AM.
That's in the AMs. We usually operate on a reverse cycle. So I'll start off with a little story about my weekend, about this experience in the float tank. Because I know I talked to you right before that, but I don't think we shared the experience after that. But
no, you just sent me a text saying you were woke.
I noticed I missed a call from you while I was in there, so that was
it was right. I was like, ah, shit, he's already in there. But yeah, I was just on the road. Kind of bullshit.
Yeah, so I got there, and it was a lot smaller than I thought. For some reason, I thought this was going to be like a big facility, and it's not that it was small, but it looked like a typical massage spa or something like that, where the waiting room was very small, and then you went into this bigger hallway where there was multiple rooms back there where the tanks were, and the tanks take up a lot of space, and so I went in at like 4 o'clock, and it was nothing about the experience is what I expected. The size of the tank is kind of shocking. The saltiness of the water is kind of unexpected. It's like you could read about it, but it's still this just so it's extra. Everything about it is just kind of extra. So I get in this tank, you shower before you get in, and it's got this kind of blue light. It's kind of this like futuristic looking blue light coming from inside the tank. You turn the outside lights out. Now you could operate this tank with the lights on, all the lights on in the room, the tank lid open, and you would still be able to relax, I'd say, better than normal. The problem is that the ambient air temperature would eventually start to cool you off if you didn't close the lid. So when you close the lid, it gets to be like your body temperature, and then you start to not notice that you're floating in water. You start to feel like everything is the same. And I was in there, I had everything dark, I had my earplugs in, and I went through kind of like a series of, layers, I would say. It was like four quarters of a game. In the first quarter, I was like, okay, this is pretty cool. And in the second and third quarter, I was kind of like, am I enjoying this at all? Is this like even fun? And it was like even like near the end of the third quarter, I would say I was questioning whether I was even comfortable. I had a pain in my neck, which ironically I'm feeling right now, but I think it's from the way I've been sitting at my computer for the last 2 days. Once I put my arms behind my head, I got way more comfortable. Like, you know, like if you're like the stereotypical, yeah, cool guy sitting back with his legs crossed and his arms behind his head.
Damn right.
You know what I'm talking about. It was, learned it from the Pepsi man. The guy told me afterwards that that's like his favorite resting spot, and he's about my size, so I don't know if that's a tall person's thing. But basically, you're not touching anything unless you start moving around. And if you move a little bit, I'd say like after the second quarter, if you move at all, it feels like you're kind of moving through space. So I could understand how some people could get motion sick doing it. I didn't, me personally, I don't get motion sick that often. So it was, I would say it was like, if I had never experienced a psychedelic experience, that would have been the closest thing you could have to a psychedelic experience, I think, completely sober. And
What would it have been like if you were on mushrooms or something and tried it?
oh
Too much?
man, and I thought about that afterwards, and you would have to be very brave, you know what I mean, mentally about what, because the thing about mushrooms is it's sort of an unknown quantity about how it's going to affect you this time. It's never, I mean, I'd say it's always the same ride as that it's a roller coaster, but sometimes, mushrooms, tricky. Same with any psychedelic. It would be tricky. That's what I'm saying. Because I think that the more you float, the more you would get comfortable and able to hit that sort of semi-psychedelic state sober. So then compounding it. But that's like kind of how they were invented, was by like scientists trying to isolate the psychedelic experience from your surroundings and your setting to see if people could have, because it was pretty clear that people were using different parts of their brain. They were trying to isolate like a telepathic connection with people by isolating their surroundings, making them, removing all of the environment stimulus. And I mean, I can honestly say, I think that if you are the type of person that believes in psychic ability or telepathy or, just using extra parts of your brain as a possibility, this would be one way where you could truly explore the inner workings of your own mind. And the only reason I say that is I don't think it's for everybody. I don't think everybody would experience what I experienced with it. I think, okay, so let me finish like the experience, right? So, like in the end of the third quarter, I had a series of small panic attacks. And I'm not the type of person that really has panic attacks, but they weren't like fear based. They were just like, I think my brain firing off a lot of extra leftover serotonin from not having the stimulus that I'm used to having every single day during that period of time. Even if I was like laying down in the hotel, I would have had the TV on. And, it's like I would have been feeling the comfort of the bed, hearing ambient sounds, light coming through my eyes. The one thing I didn't anticipate was that there was several times where I felt like I was on the verge of falling asleep, sort of, but my eyes were open. So it's like you can't even tell really if your eyes are open or closed, unless I couldn't tell if my eyes were open or closed unless I moved my eyes and moved my eyelids. So at the end of the third quarter, I'm having these little panic attacks, and I was like, oh, I don't know if I like this. I don't know if this is, would I do this again? I don't know if I do this again. And then, for whatever reason, they stopped, and I was really, really, really calm. I would say that last little part, probably it felt like 5 minutes, but it might have been as much as 20, might as maybe 15 minutes. I don't know. Time was very, the whole hour and 10 minutes went by very fast. I would say it experientially. I would say my memory of the whole experience was 20 minutes, because it's just so much time in between where I think I was kind of in and out of some sort of relative consciousness. So when I get out, and I was kind of bummed because they start this music for the last 10 minutes, and then then the jets turn on to like start flushing out the system, because it cycles out, it filters the water every hour, and there's no way you could relax in there while the jets are going. So I got out right before the jets started, and I didn't really notice until I was like driving back to the hotel that before I went in, I was really, really tired and would have been taking a nap. And when I got out, I had no need for a nap or anything like that. I was great. I was
Is
woke.
that what you're telling me?
I was woke. And I did both the shows. That was on Saturday, right? And both shows were fantastic, first and second. And they weren't like, I think Friday shows were actually a little bit better, But to have both first and second shows on Friday and Saturday be great, and Sunday was great. I mean, it was like, it was one of the best weekends I've ever had. And Doug was there. So it was me and Doug and John Henton. And I have to say that that was kind of like a reset. So I know there's a place that Ben goes to, Ben Lyons, your roommate, goes to in Beaver Creek that does the float tank and a massage. And I think that, for about the same price that, like, you could get a massage for, you get 2 hours of treatment basically for what, I don't know, it's probably only about a 25% savings, but that's the next move. Also, I found out about these ultraviolet saunas. That's probably my next thing that I try. Vince has one in his house.
Who, Vince?
Yeah. It's in his garage, but it's like, you know.
That, oh, yeah, I know you're talking about. Yeah, I saw that.
That's how he ball. You know what I'm saying? Pepsi Man, right? Yeah, same, right?
That's how Pepsi Man gets down.
So tell me about your benefit show this weekend.
Last weekend, but yeah, it was good.
Oh, that's right. Oh, that's right. That was last weekend. And
yeah.
You had Donnie Baker this weekend.
Yeah, Donnie Baker's a little small theater in Indiana. It was fucking killer. And then, then we go to this little bar across the street called the Roadhouse or something. I'm like, hell yeah, it's gonna be. I've heard of this movie.
Yeah.
So I went and got my machete. but it was good. But he came over in character.
Oh wow.
Which is very, very rare. I think I've seen him do it one time. And I was just a brief show up, and then we didn't get up. But, people were going absolutely apeshit, taking the pictures, and he's just so damn funny, man. He's got a squirrel tail pinned to the ass of his pants. I can't get enough of it. But, it was good. I mean, it's about a 300-seat theater, but the way that they seat the room, you would think that it was 500.
Wow.
It's got just a small balcony, but it was killer. Had a good time, and he booked me for a couple other things. And that's all I had this week. One show this week. I don't have shit this week.
Yeah, I don't have much this week. I don't have much this week. I was thinking about trying to hit an open mic, but I was also thinking about maybe just doing some serious writing. I worked a bit on Friday, so Friday first show, I don't know why I was feeling so brave, but I went, I think because Doug did so well, you know what I mean? And it was kind of a slow build for Doug on Thursday and Friday first show, but he got him every single time, and it's just amazing to see him. I even said to John, I said, it's amazing to see Doug killing with these jokes that barely worked 2 years ago. You know what I mean?
No, that's a prime example of sticking with it. And, he took some fucking beatings.
Oh, like a champion. Didn't he win the fireworks competition recently?
He won it last year, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, but he's a guy that stood in there, you know, and he's went through a lot of different phases.
Yeah, when I first started, he had, like, the Doug Morgan comedy tour or something like that, where these different shows he was putting on and stuff.
Yeah, he actually called it the Doug Morgan comedy flop.
Well, I remember going to a couple of those before I ever even start. You know, it was like, so I guess at that point I had signed up for my first open mic, but I hadn't actually been. And I think that's the first time I saw you. Not necessarily at this first time I saw Doug, but I mean, I met you at one of these kind of situations where I hadn't started doing comedy yet, but I was like, I had signed up for my open mic, so I was going around to support. And,
yeah, I thought he was kind of a dick. I was like, who's this black fella?
I remember thinking,
I don't like this shit.
I remember thinking about you. My first impression was, yeah, it was like I remember thinking like, oh, he seems like a nice guy, like a silly kind of a guy, but I can't imagine him being funny on stage. And then the first time I saw you was at Harrigan's. It was on Patterson or something like that, right by the Hookah Lounge, whatever the Patterson Pub
I
maybe,
remember that.
something like that. And
I think that was it.
I remember thinking like, I don't know if I've ever seen anybody this funny in my life. And after that, it was like, never judge a book by its cover. And even then, it made more sense. I was like, he was not only like, there's not that much difference between you on stage and you off stage, except for maybe you on stage is less wild. So that's not the case for most people. Most people are more wild on stage or an amplification. You're like actually de-amplified on stage a lot of times. So I think that's what I wasn't expecting was like, well, no way this translates to the stage. But what did I know? I was probably, I hadn't even started doing comedy yet.
You weren't doing comedy at that time?
I mean, I had tried,
Improv?
I had done my first two open mics, but I hadn't like started back up. So I was doing improv with Karen and Dave and Nathan, and then the rest is history. I think my first open mic at Wiley's was like, it feels like it was 2 weeks ago. That's how well I did. I was like, shit, this is what I do now. Shit, you know what I'm saying?
And this one, I'm looking to see who I am. Time to put that 30-day to fucking notice in.
Yep. Oh, I'd already been. I was like in college, I think. I was just about a year into college, maybe 6 months in. And that was the best thing I could have done, was get started while I was still in college, which was the whole plan all along, to be honest, was to kind of hide out while I practiced doing this comedy thing. But yeah, that was the best thing ever, because I graduated. The same month I graduated was the same month I went on the road. So.
Yeah, and you went on the road a lot earlier than most guys.
I think, you know,
Like real road, like work in the road, not just a couple of road gigs here and there. You hit the ground running, and
yeah,
you.
it was lucky. It was just really, really lucky. And I think it's one of those things where, I mean, I don't want to say that I don't want to say my path was easy, because I don't think anybody's path is easy. You know, I mean, if you let them tell it, but it was quick, that's for sure. And I think that the main reason why I was able to is because a lot of the guys have this problem having to say no sometimes. You know what I mean? Like, because they have some other prior commitment that they can't get free for the weekend to go do these short-term gigs. And I think early on, I was able to do a lot of fill-in weekends on short notice. I had reliable transportation. You know what I mean? Like, I set myself up to play the game right. And I think a lot of people you don't understand that saying no one time might mean that you're basically forgotten now. You know? So it was like, I never said no. I've only ever said no, I think maybe like two times, which is a testament to one, my ability to say yes, and two, I'm always available.
It depends on which way you want to look at it. Yeah, I can take that.
Yep.
What's that, Fargo?
Right?
Fargo for fucking $200, 5 days? Yeah, no, I'll fucking do that.
Even
Makes no
better.
sense not to.
Even better. I'm not even on the show, but my best good friend Jay Snyder needs a ride to Fargo. Let's do it.
We stopped by Chicago on the way, have a Chicago style pie.
Oh, that's true. We did do that. That's crazy that it was even like I was here and able to do that, because if I'd been in Chicago, there's no way I was going to be able to drive back, pick you up, then drive past Chicago again.
Oh no, the Chicago, no, your place in Chicago saves the day, saves the way there and the way back. It was
True.
still a haul from Chicago.
Yeah, it was.
It was like fucking 10 or 11 hours from Chicago, it seemed like.
At least. That's
Oh,
I
what a
haven't even
fucking
never been
shit.
back there, and I don't really like. I'm just now at the point where like some of these gigs come through and they're like, who's available to go to Wisconsin? Not me. May just come back from there. Not for a one-nighter. There's guys that live up there that deserve those gigs.
What's your favorite state to perform in?
That's a tough call,
Outside
man.
of Ohio.
Outside of Ohio, yeah, obviously, I have a certain affinity for our home state, but it's got to be Michigan.
I would have to agree, I think.
It's got to be Michigan. Maybe
Michigan's great. Illinois is great.
New York is pretty fucking hot. The suburbs, you know what I mean? Because like Albany and Syracuse. I had great, I don't think I had a bad set at either club, and it was very diverse audiences. I think in both places I worked with a black headliner, like a exclusively drawing black headliner, and still like sold out of merch in each city. So that's a great problem to have. Even Cleveland, black headliner sold out, and so like people are like, well, what color? Why does it matter what color the headliner is? It's not really a matter of what color it is. It's just that when it's a black headliner, they typically draw their audience. If they're headlining a Funny Bone or improv, they're pulling their whole audience in. And that's hard to sell merch in. It's hard to sell merch to somebody else's fans.
Absolutely. London rooms are. Oh, dude, I booked a fucking killer. It'll be the best week of my year.
Oh, yeah.
Yesterday, Syracuse. But Lori, the manager, requested it. So it's me, Tom Dustin, and John Morgan, the accents.
Oh.
The accents. Well, we did it years ago in Cincinnati, and the manager's like, "Holy shit, this has just been a fucking great week." And John was like, "God, this is a fucking great week. This is a show built beautifully." So he's like, "I'm just gonna talk to Stroop and see what I can get." So Lori sent a request in for the three of us, and then I mean, she texted me, and then minutes later I checked my email and Laura had sent it, but they wanted me to host, which I got no problem with. The only problem is I'm not going all that way
Yeah.
for host money. So
Yeah.
then me and Dustin figured we're just gonna,
Split it.
so we got a little bump in pay, and
Yeah.
then we're just gonna rotate, and you know, so we can still both get a feature week
Oh, okay.
later in the year, and then split the cash, and it's pretty close to what it would be just to feature, like close enough to where I was like, yeah, we'll fucking
Yeah, of
definitely
course.
do that.
Yeah.
But even if you just combine the host money and the feature money and split that,
That's worth it.
yeah, that's what. And we got a little bump in it. So
That's nice.
for the funnest week of the year
Ah!
and all that.
I'm feeling the surge of jealousy. But I couldn't, but here's the other thing. Here's the honesty of that whole transaction is that there's nothing I could add to that show. You know what I'm saying? It's like a lot of comics, they're like, oh, can I get up on this show? Can I do this show? And it's one of those things where it's like, I get wanting to do it, wanting stage time. I totally get that. But ever since, like, even from the very beginning, my number one question, the number one thing is, if you're not adding anything to the show, it don't even bother worrying about trying to be on. Just be happy for the people that are doing it. Because that show right there, it's tough to think about who would be hosting. You know what I mean? It's almost like you need an MC and now you got a three-man show. And by MC, I mean somebody that's like, all right, guys, welcome to the Syracuse Funny Bone. Please, or you know what I mean? Drop your cell phones, you know, da 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 da. All right, here comes your first comic of the evening, and then walks off the stage, and then you guys piggyback from there or something. But it's like you guys, you and Tom each got to do 20 minutes at least, at like 25 even.
Yeah,
20,
but whatever it
22.
is, you know, it would be
Yeah,
cool to see.
even if you just rotated it, that's a great show. I'm jealous as hell that you got that magic. It doesn't happen very often.
No, and she was talking about the last time I was there, because John was there the week after, and I told her about it. Tom goes there pretty good bit, because it's not far from Boston, and he had told her about it. John told her about it, so then she's like, "I'm going to work on that." And then she actually fucking did.
Make it
Was
happen,
she was the
Captain.
manager when you were there, right?
Yeah.
Last time.
Yep.
So that would have been right when she first got there, then.
Yep, she was new, I think.
Because when I was there, she was there for like a month or maybe 2 months.
Yeah, I
It
had
wasn't
just
very
left. I had
long.
just left. You came in like 2 weeks after me.
Yeah. Who were
So,
you in there with?
what's that?
Who were you in there with? Adam Ferrara?
No, like Tony Roberts, I think.
Oh, right on. Yeah, I think Doug was just with him somewhere.
Man, he's a killer.
Toledo?
He is killer. Yeah, I think he was. He is, I
Yeah,
mean, a
he's a high
murderer.
energy.
A murderer. He does
Really?
his like, I mean, he takes a towel on stage, but I'm pretty sure he just uses the towel for, like a prop or whatever. But it's like he could literally start doing his act in the mall and everybody would crowd around him, to watch what he was doing. It's like, it's not what most of us are doing. It is truly performance art on a level. And some people would say, yeah, I don't like that kind of comedy or whatever. And I get that. But you can't deny that what he's saying is, dude, I found myself just like in uncontrollable giggles, like just watching it, just like, oh my God. He was telling me how to do my hotel joke, but he does it his own way, which is basically like, in his mind, what he would say I do is, I'm just giving the premise. Even when I'm giving the punchline, I'm just giving the premise because for him, all of the joke is in the act out and the twist. You know what I mean? Like doing the actual characterization of what I've just painted. So when I'm talking about the hotel and people being outside, fighting or whatever, he goes through the fight. He like actually does that. I mean, like I'm dying laughing at what he did to my joke. There's no way I ever do that to that joke. That's just not the kind of comic I am. But
Right.
it was one of those things where I realized how much meat I'm leaving on the bone.
He had a, he has a or he used to have a Netflix
He
special,
still does, yeah.
and just the way that he starts it off, like you can tell that, or just being in comedy, I can I didn't actually watch it all because I got busy, but the way that he starts it off, you're like, this is a build up to something way bigger than an
Yeah.
opening bit.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming that he called it back like a fucking boss at the end.
Oh shit, there goes my hoe.
But yeah, so
I
that's
started doing
good.
a new bit this week. I did so that Friday first show, I did two I did I think I did my damn near my first 15 minutes was almost all new stuff. I might have touched on a few old bits, but it was like one of those things where the audience was just enough hot that I knew I could skate by with the joke not being totally worked out if my attitude was right. And I've been working on this new bit, and it's a bit I've worked on before, I just never really added it to the act about being dyslexic. And I realized that's going to be my linchpin for a lot of other things that I can like. Once I get comfortable talking about that, I feel like I'll be comfortable talking about a lot of other aspects of my life, which is what I want to work on this year, is kind of flip-flopping my act from things that are like road comic topics, flying, hotels, driving,
Right.
stupid shit.
So you're trying to get away from anything like that?
I'm just trying to get away from the. I think the more I make the act about my life, the less I have to worry about it having been done before.
Overlapping, right.
Yeah, and I mean,
Yeah, I agree.
there's no new ideas out there. It's not like my life is particularly unique. I mean, it is as much as anybody else's life is particularly unique. But I did do. So after the float session, I did a podcast with the kid that works there. And his name is Alex. And it was a very revealing podcast. And I'll drop a link for that whenever it comes out. But, he's really into the whole float tank technology and stuff like that. And so we were talking about a lot of the same things. And I just kind of realized, like in the last, I don't know, 6 months or so, 5 or 6 months, I've been really on this sort of spiritual journey. I mean, you've been on it with me, so. But I think I'm kind of looking for something deeper. I thought I was looking for something deeper out of myself, but I think I'm really looking for something deeper out of what it is I'm talking about. It's almost like my old act doesn't get me high anymore. You know what I mean?
Right.
And when I did that new stuff, it gave me a certain sense of is why you do this. Yeah, you get excited. But what's funny is that after that, I just chopped it up because I focused on doing shorter sets. Because guess who was doing 20 minutes from the MC spot?
Oh, fucking Shuck and Jive.
Oh, Shuck and Jive Morgan over there. And I mean, he did like 22 minutes one time to open the show. And it wasn't exactly 22 minutes, I don't think, but like, that's how much time had passed. You know what I mean? So if the show starts 2 minutes late, that comes out of the MC set, basically. Now, I don't care. I don't care because the closer I get to 20 minutes, the tighter I can keep it. I mean, it's not because I need air in my material, but because it's like you can't keep your foot on the pedal for that long. You got to let it up for a second just to close big. And so the closer I am to 20 minutes, the closer I am to keeping the pedal to the ground the entire time. And you know, Doug did a great job hosting and setting me up with merch after the show. And not that he set up, I'm just like reminding him or whatever. I sold out of medium, large, and extra large. So all I had was small, 2X and 3X. And I was like, I can't pitch missing, you know, the most popular sizes.
Yeah, right.
So made an order as soon as I got home. I go to Des Moines in 2 weeks. I'm going to Nebraska. I go to Nebraska in 2 weeks and Des Moines in 3 weeks. And
you doing Omaha? Or are you doing Funny Bone?
No, I'm doing another Sabo run with Sabo. So nice. My nerves will be shot when I get back.
That's a nice little haul.
It is. And the worst part about it was I was like, oh, damn. And I'm not going to – my shirts aren't supposed to be here till like, the Monday I get back. Now, I could have paid 25% more to get them here earlier, but that blows my margins. And two, I forgot I have a whole closet full of podcast shirts that I have not been pitching or taking anywhere with me. So I'm going to take the podcast shirts and develop this podcast material and really start pumping. I mean, I don't know what's going on. I don't know if it's just one or two people deep diving in the last few days, but the numbers have been going up exponentially like every day. And not even like by a factor of two, but just like a factor of like maybe 0.2. And that's big for us, you know. We're home ground, you know what I mean? We've got that home ground
for you. We're home ground. We're an old soul. Still shitting yeller.
You're still shitting yeller. Just learned to trade from the Pepsi man. He done braced us up, right? He did.
we're coming back from that Donnie Baker show the other day, so I had to stop by the crib in Dayton, and anyway, we left there, and I stopped by my favorite liquor store. You know, I want 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Anyway, so I bought a liter of bourbon. And I was just in a hell of a mood on that Sunday. We headed back, so I drank a pint of Fireball and a Bloody Mary on the way. And I was like, oh, I was just in a playful mood. I was like, oh, this is going to be a good day. Anyhow, then I go up to the VFW. I've been going up there and hanging out with all these old-timers.
You going up to the VF&W?
Went up to the VF&W. Anyway, then we're just drinking like fucking maniacs. And then I come back, I pick up my leader and some mixer for it. And then I'm just walking up to my brother's where he's taking care of Barry, the guy we did the benefit for. Well, it started raining and then it's frozen. So I go and I take a step onto this bridge. And the first step, I mean, the whole walk is about 3 minutes from house to house. I take the first step onto this bridge. It was ice. I've been drinking for 10 hours. Fucking went down hard.
Oh.
Oh, but also, there's was a line of traffic at the red light. So I'm walking parallel with them, and I mean, I go down. I got my liquor in the Kroger bag, like a true, got my hobo bag ready. Shattered that full
liter. That's what I was waiting for.
Landed on the bottle, slit my wrist. I slit my wrist on purpose after I realized I had busted a liter.
That's what I was gonna say. That weren't on accident.
Yeah, well, just fucking give me one of them shards here. I'll fucking
leave me here to die. Pet some man will be by to get my body.
Tell him I died doing what I love. But, so one of my friends goes, did you look at the cars when you fell? Well, fuck no.
Right.
I fell before. I know how you fucking get.
Right. I did that. Remember, we were redoing the floors at the Columbus Funbounds?
Of course.
And it was snowing crazy back then. And I remember I had to walk over to Kinko's. I had to send something to FedEx. I had to send something FedEx. I don't remember what it was, but I was walking over there, and I thought I knew where it was, but my phone GPS was, like, wigging out. It wasn't working. And so I was just trying to read the map, and I'm dyslexic as fuck. So, I was just struggling. And I remember I stopped and tried to turn around and slipped. And, boy, I mean, like, cars were already, like you said, stopped because traffic was going so slow they had to wait to turn right. Fell right in front of all these cars, and I just kind of sat there for a second, like, let's go ahead and figure out what we're doing while we're sitting down. Let's go ahead and sit down real quick. No, yeah, I mean, like, it was like 10 seconds later, I'm like, yeah, no, I meant to do this. I'm just going to sit here now. It's what I do.
Then you just do a thing where you roll backward and then use your hands and then kick your feet up and you land on your feet like fucking
the Karate Negro
from the fucking WWF.
Well, I'm the Karate Negro. I'm one of those kids, though. That's funny because I am one of the kids. I'm, like, truly a statistic. I saw The Karate Kid. I signed up for karate lessons within 2 weeks, I think.
The crane was your go-to move?
The crane is still my go-to move. And I'll tell you, man, it throws the ladies off. They're never expecting it.
I've always thought that if you were about to get in a fight and you did that, like, just fucking... someone be like, motherfucker, I know what you're gonna do. I've seen this before. Yeah, so you're trying to juke, fucking fake juke.
I would love to see that in the UFC. Oh, and we gotta do this UFC too. That's gonna be coming up soon.
Yeah, we're gonna try to do that on Monday, right?
The only problem with that is I gotta go out of town on Wednesday. And I just don't know if that's the best time to do it yet.
If they don't know there's enough recovery.
Basically. And I got to check with everybody else. I'm wondering if, like, and then the week after that I go out of town again. So I don't know if waiting is better or... What are you doing for the Super Bowl? That's this weekend. I keep forgetting that. I just realized... I know who the teams are, but not because I've watched a single game of football this year. I don't think I watched a single game. Just maybe a few highlights.
I've watched a little bit, but not much. Just because I've been going to these bars.
It's like crazy. It's what's on.
Yeah, it's what's on. And, the VFW and the Amfest have been my go-to.
Oh, my God.
And,
you're going to start getting fucking battle stories.
Oh, fuck. I'm walking with a limp just because everybody I've been hanging out with does.
Got it through osmosis.
One guy started running his fucking mouth, so I just stood on his oxygen cord. you go night-night. I told you that my brother ended up punching some dude at that benefit show.
What?
And the guy had to come, like... He showed up an hour and a half before the show, hammered. And when I tell you that something is hammered, he's hammered like I am at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
He was at 6 o'clock in the afternoon.
Okay.
And then, so we had the kids there, like, marking hands and sure they paid and all that stuff. Well, he goes and unlocks the other door, goes walking out. I was like, hey, dude, we're keeping this door locked or whatever. He mumbled something. I was like, yeah, this dude's going to end up getting punched in the mouth.
Yeah.
And so then it was about probably a half an hour later, he fucking Jared's kids again. So Jared, all right, kids, go. He takes them to the house, and he says, we go, what we got to leave for? He goes, God, I'm going to end up knocking that guy out. So he kind of had it in his head. It was kind of pre-planned.
Yeah.
And then, but then he came back, and the guy started fucking running his mouth. And so Jared just dropped the coat and just give him a good swarp, and he went night-night. He fell, like, was snoring before he fell. cracked his head on the sidewalk like us. So there's blood squirting out of his fucking, the center of his forehead, like somebody squeezing a syringe. It's just shooting out. And his cheeks all fucked up. And then, so me and Nate and John walk out there, just like, the guy's still just laying on the ground, just blood and shit everywhere. And, and some people were upset about it. As you can imagine, it's a fucking benefit.
So, this ain't what we come for.
Yeah. Some girl's like, who did this? Jared goes, I fucking did it. Goes, what'd you do that for? Because he's running his fucking mouth. Yeah, but why'd you punch him? Because he's running his fucking mouth. She's like, that don't make no sense. Why would you punch him? Because he was running his fucking mouth like you are, lady. That's just fucking... Anyway, so they had two or three guys pick him up and walk him out. And this guy's so trash, he thinks that he just passed out. But Nate Washington's going live because he sees some dude just asleep on the ground, bleeding like hell. So Nate thinks that he passes out. He passed out also. And it made for pretty interesting. I was like, oh, shit. This is how this night's going to start. But
That was before the show even started?
Oh, yeah. That was an hour before the show even started. Oh, and so I go up to the VFW Sunday. So I was like, oh, your brother cracked so-and-so. I go, yeah. He's like, and everybody that I talk to is like, oh, God, dude, that's good. That son of a bitch runs his fucking mouth so much. This makes me, I wanted to punch that motherfucker. So, I'm like, I told Jared, because the dude was so fucked up. I was like, dude, you hit him at just the right time. If you'd have waited another 2 or 3 minutes, he probably would have fell asleep. you cracked him just at the perfect time, right before he fell asleep. Jared goes, I'll be honest, I don't even know if I connected. I think he did fall asleep. Just sitting there swinging like a motherfucker, and the wind just...
through a field of poppies.
That was pretty good. And then so John goes up, rips it like I knew he would. Nate goes up, rips it. And then and they're being so good and respect, because I hosted it.
Yeah.
And then I went up and closed it.
Uh-huh.
So, when I went up, I was like, look, guys, this ain't Johnny. We're fucking, you guys going to fucking keep your shit down? You're going to be respectful or your fucking asses are going to get thrown out. That's just the way that it is.
Yeah.
So they were good for him. As soon as I get up there, fucking, oh, just some motherfuckers doing backflips. They're lighting mattresses on fire and shit. It was fucking ridiculous. And then so we're just trying to raise as much money as we can, which we did raise a shitload of money. But I had the bright idea, because we had kegs. It was $10 to get in. That's all the keg beer you can drink. And then they also had cocktails and shots and stuff for sale also. But so when I get on stage, somebody yells something about a keg stand, and I go, oh, shit, that's a good idea. I go, all right, let's get one of them kegs up here. So they bring a keg up to the stage. I'm like, we'll do keg stands for $5. Barry gets all the money. I'm like, is that a good idea? You guys have it? Everyone starts rooting the chair. I'm like, oh, I just hit some fucking pay dirt. And chances and you make it. Sometimes you swing and you miss the fucking ball.
Yeah.
I missed the whole fucking ball and everything on this one. And then, but now I've just got a keg on stage. So I just got people just fucking walking up, forming lines at the stage, filling beers up. And then, it backfired too hard. And, yeah, so it was pretty rough. But we raised just under about $5,000 altogether.
Nice.
And, so it was a success. And, and so then I leave, I go out to my cousins, they're playing poker and stuff, and so we go out there and hang out for a little bit, and they're all telling me, dude, you can't be posting pictures of an ape with that guy. Like that. And so I'm like, yeah, I know, yeah, I get it. Trust me, I've had plenty of white people telling me.
For those that don't know, there was a very controversial picture, which I don't think, like, I see, I see why people had a problem with it, because it's Keith Urban. If you know Keith Urban, I call him Harambe already, but he's wearing like a gorilla masked hat, it looks like, and it's like kind of, it's like a hood or something, and it's kind of pulled down to the top of his head. And then Jay posted a picture of a sad gorilla right next to it. and it was like, I mean, Keith laughed out loud at it, but other people found it, you know, that's like, to me, that's like one of those things, like if you had shared that inside of a comics only page, I don't think anybody would, well, even then people would have had a problem with it, but less would have had a problem with it. That was like inside, yeah. Inside baseball. But, God damn, that was hilarious. But the fact that the people in Jackson are like, look, man, you can't be... Like, that's just disrespectful, man.
Yeah, you know, I don't come back and I don't come back and haunt you, man. I'm telling you.
Gorillas always come back and haunt you, man.
I was like, yes. And everybody that has had a problem with it, I'd say one thing. Yeah, I get what you're saying, but... Don't fucking tell me you didn't bust out laughing when you fucking saw it. And for the most part, everyone's like, yeah, no, I definitely laughed.
But I felt so bad about myself.
Yeah. And I mean, I get it. This day and age, I definitely get it, but whatever. But the backstory to that was, me, Doug, and Keith were on the road in Illinois, and I thought of it because I took a picture, I took a selfie of me, Doug, and Keith. It looks like Keith is asleep in the back.
Yeah.
And so I zoom in, I screenshot just Keith, and then I pull up a picture of a sad
yeah.
A sad gorilla, and then I pull it up, and I'm about to post it about six times, no less than six times. I fucking did it and just canceled it.
Yeah.
Then I was like, God damn it, that's too funny. So then finally I just show Keith before I post it, and he busts out laughing.
Yeah.
So in my mind, I go, fuck it. I think it's funny. Keith thinks it's funny. Fuck everybody else. But I knew immediately, as soon as I posted it, almost sick to my stomach, just waiting on the backlash.
You know what, though? The only mistake was, you should have just sent it to Keith and let him post it. And if he posts it, then that's on him. And if he doesn't, he doesn't. But I think he would have posted it, because Keith isn't the kind of guy that's like always trying to paint himself in the most positive light. You know what I mean? Like, he'll make fun of himself. I mean, that's basically right. A shtick on stage anyway. So, but not that shtick is a bad thing.
Another thing, I spent this past Christmas with Keith and his family.
Right.
I was the only white guy. And Keith goes, oh, dude, and just think you were just getting in there. With
you just lost your black credit.
But, yeah, so... then I was in Connecticut. Did you see the picture that Kurtz posted? So it was a picture of me doing that, like...
Oh, yeah, yeah, that TV show. I posted a picture of me in the background, too, yeah.
And then Kurtz posted that one with that big fucking albino gorilla with the fucked up teeth. It was fucking hilarious. And, but, yeah, so... I mean, what are you going to do, you know?
Yep.
What the fuck are you going to do?
I was was looking back through some of the pictures I posted of myself on Facebook, and I realized that, one, Facebook used to be a lot funnier and less political. And I think it's kind of the season right now, but I think it's also kind of the zeitgeist. I think it's what some people think it's for. And I kind of don't believe in censoring my feed, because I'm like, well, if this is what it is, wide open, then this is what I want. This is how I'd want it. But I just haven't been being as interactive with it. I'm just like kind of like posting, sharing the things that I want to share, interacting on my own personal face on my page, not so much looking at the timeline. And it's been much more beneficial. Deleted the apps from my phone, so I just have it like on my computer now. So that's the
I'm on Facebook all the time, but last couple of days I've been on it way less. Like I would be on it probably 6 hours a day, or just for an example, 6 hours a day. The last couple of days it's been about an hour, if that.
Yeah.
And it's glorious.
Yeah.
It's fucking glorious.
It gives you a lot of peace. I think that's one of the lessons I learned from the float tank, actually, was I felt so peaceful being disconnected from everything. You know what I mean? I mean, I did slide in and take a picture. Like, as the music was coming on, I brought my phone in and took a picture of what it looked like from the inside to kind of show people, because it really wasn't like anything I had expected to look like. I mean, I even saw a picture of what the tank looked like, but when you get there, the size isn't... I mean, it looks like a cryogenic chamber, like, and we'll wake you up in 2092. And you'll be the same age, and you'll be actually younger. But it was a very, very interesting experience. And it kind of was like a reset button. So, yeah. I think... I lost my train of thought.
What about the cryogenic chamber? They're kind of like the thing they got Walt Disney's head in.
Exactly. I wish I had one in my house. That's basically the bottom line for the chambers, the float tank. And you know what's funny is they used to be called sensory deprivation tanks. And I get why they changed the name, because that sounds creepy. A float tank sounds much more...
That's fun. That's much more palatable.
So I watched this. The reason I decided I could do it was I've been fascinated with this guy who's on Vice TV, Viceland TV, which is like on cable. Then they have Vice News, which is like on HBO. And Vice has like a YouTube channel that's pretty prolific too. And a website. But this guy, Hamilton Morris, who is like a chemist by education but a journalist by trade, and he goes all over the world and does trips from the toad, you know what I mean, eats fish that makes you trip, I mean, just does all these different kind of like experimental psychedelic experiences, and but he's like super intelligent and describes everything on like kind of a chemical level. It's like way above my head, but he's an interesting dude and a really interesting to listen to. So I was like kind of watching all of his stuff online, and he does a part where he's on the Joe Rogan Experience, and then he's only there to talk to Joe about float tanks. Then he meets this guy who runs these float centers, does a couple different flotations, and when he was going through the process of that, that's when I kind of realized, oh, this looks exactly like something I would be into, not something I'd be afraid of. And that's what I always thought it was. I think I always thought, not so much that I'd be claustrophobic, but I would be that... I'd be afraid to be that alone with my thoughts.
Oh, hell yeah.
But it was very therapeutic and very, I would say the hardest part was trying to figure out how I was going to get comfortable. And once I figured that out, I was able to actually relax.
I'd have to try it. I don't know. I don't like to be alone with my thoughts.
That's the hard part.
I'm a creepy motherfucker.
You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I don't know how it would be, like, under the influence of anything, to be honest. Definitely couldn't be drinking in there, because you'd have to piss, and you can't piss in there. And also the high propensity for getting motion sick. Edibles, I think I'd get motion sick. Psychedelics, That would be the closest thing to having like having, I think probably like so like if you were gonna be like, well, I want to eat these mushrooms, but I want to have like a spiritual journey, and like this would pretty much guarantee that whatever the experience you sought, you would get if you were an experienced individual in that realm. I wouldn't suggest it like, well, this is the first time I'm gonna try mushrooms, I'm gonna do the sensory, like that might be overwhelming for anybody. I could see people getting overwhelmed with just the sensory deprivation tank, because not only is it intensely personal, just some people just don't go inward at all. You know, they don't look inward, or they don't want to be that solitary. And stimulus is what keeps them comfortable. And I get that. That's not like right or wrong. I think I'm one of those people that I think stimulus makes me comfortable, but I'm not exactly sure if that's the truth. So. I think that might be it too for me. Like, but you know, shit, you can create your own reality. I think that's the one thing that comedy teaches us, is that what you put in isn't necessarily what you get out, but when you do put it in and then take it out, you're like, God damn right I did that shit.
Now just sit back and reap what I've sowed.
Exactly, for the next 2 years. I ain't writing a new joke for 2 years. These is
That ain't bad.
good.
That ain't bad. That's pretty good. That's pretty good turnover rate for me.
Yeah. Well, I have this new stuff that I'm eager to start doing, but what I realized about it was, when I was doing this dyslexia bit, it's like three parts to it right now, and that none of them are very fleshed out, but I would slow down for it. It was like when I was doing this this PTSD joke, because it's got so many moving parts, I would slow down, but the way I slow down is a very dramatic effect. You know what I mean? It's like I was using it for dramatic effect, and that brought the energy into this different place, so that when I hit them with the punchline and it's not expected, they're like, oh, you got me, kind of, which can sometimes create a groan. But the dyslexia bits are all about me, so they're able to laugh more freely at them. And,
Because you're the punchline in it.
exactly. They don't have to feel that they're laughing with me. You know what I mean? Not at me. And that's like the true essence of that. You know, like when your parents are like, oh, we're laughing with you, not at you. And I'm like, bitch, I'm not laughing. You know what I'm saying? Like, I gotta be laughing for you to be laughing with me. I understand how these words work.
No, you're lying to me is what you're trying to
Yeah,
do in that.
yeah. You're lying at me.
You're the
Not
goddamn liar is what you are.
with.
You're the goddamn liar and a goddamn bully is what you are.
And I did not a goddamn thing to you.
I did not one goddamn thing.
Well, buddy, I think we can
The
call this one a wrap here. You got nothing this week, so we're getting together again this week. We got a big episode
yes.
coming up.
Oh yeah, that's gonna be a good one. So hopefully I'll get back with them today and see, because it's looking like, because what I'm hoping is the second guy I was waiting to get back with us, which did, and he's all for it. He sent me his number and everything, so I'm hoping that we can do it in his chambers would be the shit.
The shills
And
live.
then wherever we can meet the other guy at, through his, because get them both in one day. You know, because they're pretty fucking busy guys or whatever. I told them it'd be no more than an hour each, and they're all for it.
Look at you going out and getting
So,
some interviews. Look at you getting into the cast.
dude,
Big time into
that
it now, huh? Big time need it now, don't he?
yeah, but yeah. So I'm excited about that. I just don't know if, and I know the one guy. I don't know if it'll be one, like edit them together or what, but.
Well, I think it'll be
Let
interesting
me.
to see what we get out of it, and it might be one of those things. You know, I feel like it's not going to necessarily be time sensitive. So if we do release it over the course of a month, maybe, you know what I mean? Like once the beginning of February, once at the beginning of March for the second part,
Right.
you know, because I think we're going to have overlapping it may be best to air that all at one time. You know what I mean? There may be overlapping stories that make it that tie it together where the distance isn't going to be a good thing. So we'll just have to see what we get.
Right.
We just have to see what we get, Pets of mine. I don't understand, but I'm going to get it. So no.
I'm excited about you. I told you the one guy's a really fucking interesting guy. I'm gonna text you his name so you can
Get some research.
look at some of his Facebook posts, 'cause they're so fucking good. I told you the kind of stuff that he posts, whatever. But yeah, they're so good, and I'm excited for it. So it's looking like Thursday.
Yeah, I cleared my schedule for Thursday. I
Cool.
had
Yeah.
had something that I was ha didn't even really have to do, but this is more important. I feel like this could be a great one. So we'll let the listeners know when that come out. And other than that, we're both off this week. We'll probably get together for another recording on Monday or something. And oh yeah, what are you doing for the Super Bowl? I don't think you ever answered that.
I don't know yet. You know me, I'm just fucking playing it by ear. At this point, I mean, I've been invited to a shitload of parties, but
Do you want to get together then?
record, do a supercast.
I mean, we could do a supercast. We could just do me and you supercast right here at my house. What
On
time does the Super
Sunday?
Bowl start?
What's that?
What time does the Super Bowl start?
Know, dude. I'm like you. I watch the fucking game.
Oh, yeah.
I'm assuming like 7, 6 or 7 o'clock,
That's
I
what I
would
was
think.
assuming too. Yeah, we could watch it here at my house, or we could go somewhere and watch it. We could go to Jer's and watch it.
Right. I know that a couple comics are having parties. I know MDS is having one. But also, yeah, I mean, I'm pretty good with whatever.
Yeah. Let's think about that one
So,
for a second. Yeah, I don't exactly know what my full schedule is on Sunday, but I'm pretty sure I'm free after 5, so let's keep that as an option.
yeah, and then we'll get it figured out Thursday when I talk to you. We'll
We'll nail it
try to
down.
get a game plan together there.
10-4, bike buddy. I will talk to you then.
Holler to Bob.
With